Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
As the Bears get back to work today at Halas Hall, what's the point of emphasis for the offense that scored one TD in two games after so much preseason hype about the explosiveness of this unit? Do you expect any personnel changes? Care to suggest any?
I think the Bears are, to overstate it a little bit, in a state of shock. Offensively, we said after the draft, they drafted touchdowns. When they traded for Keenan Allen, people were doing cartwheels. And this was supposed to be the team that was different. Oh, they're going to score 25, 26 points a game. And if they can just do that with that defense, this is a playoff team. What happened to that team? What happened to those guys? So I think they returned to work today realizing, having to realize and acknowledge the fact this is a broken offense. And it's broken up front. And you don't have an identity, and your identity can't be you're going to be the team that sticks with your rookie quarterback through thick and thin. They should, and they will, because he's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is you can't protect him. But related to that is the fact that you can't run the football. And when you can't run the football, any level of football, you're not going to get done what you need to get done. So I would suggest a couple things to look at personnel-wise. I would reevaluate my right guard in Nate Davis. I would consider what other options I have at center. I think Coleman Shelton is a guy that obviously can get people lined up, but I don't know what value there is in getting people lined up if you're going to get run over. Lining up. This is where you're going to line up. This is who you're going to block when they steamroll you. I'm not sure how valuable that really is if you can't protect anybody. So I would look at my offensive line changes. I would not be that concerned at running back. Obviously, I still have a lot of confidence in DeAndre Swift. You might want to get Roschon Johnson involved. I know people are clamoring for Khalil Herbert. But personnel-wise, you might want to think about, and this is more scheme than anything, but when you do pass on third and long or second and long, you might want to keep in a tight end. You might have to reduce the number of receivers out on pass routes. You need to protect the quarterback, give him time to find people, because when you do, he will work. So you have open competition maybe on the offensive line. Maybe consider some tweaking. But you've got to fix what's broken, and what's broken is the running game.
So Nate Davis finds a seat on the bench. Matt Pryor moves into right guard. That's what I would do. He seems like a mauler from the preseason stuff we saw on him. And, yeah, I mean, absolutely positive. You have to establish a running game so that teams can't just sit there and pin their ears back and blitz you all day long.
Unoriginal thoughts here, but you got to establish the run. I don't really care about explosive plays right now. I don't care about doing anything exciting. You need to move the football. You need to establish the run, and you just have to trust that the explosives will come when you find your identity and you protect your quarterback. I think you just have to get into an offensive rhythm and figure out the basics before you can have fun and before we can see the fun parts of Caleb Williams and what he can do. And then you said people are clamoring for Khalil Herbert. Yes, I am clamoring. He was averaging 4.6 yards a carry last year. Like, what are we trying to prove that we don't need him for?
How many carries? I know that he has a higher yards per carry average.
Roschon 4.3.
Than a lot. Maybe you do try him. I think he is your
you gotta try
downhill runner. Well, DeAndre Swift has 24 carries for 48 yards. Nobody expected that. But I don't know if it's all on him.
I don't think it is. And I'll be fair. But I think in order just to switch things up, give those guys that worked for you last year, give them a shot in this offense. And with that being said, you obviously have to block. I'm with you, Nate Davis. I think you need to make a statement. Sit him down. Ryan Pohl said he is the most depth at offensive line that he's had here. Let's prove it, Mr. Pohls. You know, let's prove it and show us that you have that depth, because what's happening right now is not working. And I think you need to make a statement and change what's going on at your right guard position, maybe at your center position, and figure it out.
That's one of those questions. You know how hard that is to answer.
That's the voice of Dan Weider. He's here at 7:25. Today we'll get a glimpse of the first injury report for the Bears. What are your biggest injury concerns heading into a Colts game that is looking like it's a must win?
Well, the injury report is very important every week. Last week there was curiosity. This week there might be even more. Here's the thing about Keenan Allen. When you look at, I think it was in Mark Potash's Sun-Times story this morning, when you look at what he has done or not done over the last 36 games or so, maybe the stat was Sunday night was the 12th game of the last 36 he's missed. So when you start to think about his age and how many games he's missed, one out of every three since he turned 30, essentially, to generalize, I don't know if that's such a good thing. He's making a lot of money. Is he going to be on the injury report again? Is he going to practice this week? Is he going to develop that chemistry he needs with his rookie quarterback? I know he's Keenan Allen, master route runner, all those things. He's got a Hall of Fame resume. And maybe you don't question these things from a veteran like that, but it's not so much about him as it is about the passing game. They need him more than he needs the Bears. So I hope that he is practicing, because plantar fasciitis is nothing to diminish. And it's if you think it's hard to say, you should try living with it. It hurts.
Lingers.
It lingers, and it's not something to mess around with. So any other surprises on the injury report you don't like, you don't want to see a defensive lineman pop up like a DeMarcus Walker, for instance? You don't want to see anybody who maybe woke up Monday more sore or injured than they thought they were, when the game ended? A lot of concerns, but the good news is for the Bears on the other side of the spectrum is that DeForest Buckner was placed on injured reserve, which means he's going to be missing the next four games, which means he won't be in the middle of that Colt defense on Sunday.
Well, to your point, David, how did guys wake up on Monday morning? How's Caleb Williams feeling? It can't be too good. We're going to see him today, presumably, right? Unless all of a sudden he's unavailable because he's questionable with just total body soreness after getting his stuffing kicked out of him, as one person said it. Keenan Allen's the guy. They need that guy. I mean, Mully says he's one of, if not the best route runners he's ever seen in the NFL. And if that's true, which he's pretty good, then you need that guy on the field. He needs that weapon. Does Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I'm curious to see if Caleb Williams pops up there too. He was getting thrown around. And that's your first NFL game where you really got your butt kicked. And I'm very curious to just make sure that he's alive and well. haven't seen or heard from him since. So I really do hope that he's healthy and really at 100%, because he can't afford to be anything less than that. Other than that, I don't think the Bears lost that game because Keenan Allen wasn't in the game. And I think you're going to need Keenan Allen down the stretch of this season. If he pops up on the injury report and he misses this week, I'm okay. It doesn't bother me.
At what point didn't Collinsworth suggest that? Boy, if they just had Keenan Allen here. Boy, if they just had Keenan
right.
Allen.
You got DJ Moore. You have Rome Odunze. You have other players in there that can make an impact. And Cole Kmet. Like, let's get, you got guys in there. And if Keenan Allen misses this week, I'm okay. It doesn't affect my perception of how the Bears should win this game. So that's my one. I think obviously on the defensive line, Zach Pickens, you're just not very deep there. That's a little concerning to me. But I think the Keenan Allen injury, I don't want you to push him to get back to go play in the Colts game. You're going to need him long term. So keep it cooking.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yes, Stacey, you can. How concerned should you be about the Bears? Mario Edwards Jr. of the Texans saying this post game.
Man, he's slippery. He's very elusive. You got to break down and tackle him, and he's real good with his legs.
Seems like on third down, you guys put a lot of – you overloaded that one side a couple of different times. Is that something that you guys saw early on was working and just kind of kept going through it?
It was one of those things that was working, and coach just kept calling, and we kept putting it on him.
Did you sense that it bothered him at all, you know, to start getting a little gunshot? Not like afraid to get hit, but just that it's affecting him the way he's playing because you're hitting him that often?
Definitely. Once I started seeing some guys put some hits on him, he was getting slow back to the huddle. Also, too, once we covered him up, he couldn't see. So he started panicking. So once he started panicking, we knew that's what we had to do.
Is that just post-game trash talk or a label that could stick with Caleb Williams?
You know, I read that yesterday. Brandon Fryer, nice job finding that audio. Hearing it is even worse. Hearing it is the Texans confirming that, in their eyes, they could get to Caleb Williams, Mr. Unflappable. Looked flappable. He looked like he was panicking in their eyes. That's not a good thing to hear about the Bears' poised, polished, present quarterback. And what they did was they harassed him and they made him look like a rookie. And when he said they covered him up, that means that he couldn't see past them or through them or over them, which isn't good. And so slow getting back to the huddle, that's the body language that maybe they were referencing in terms of whether he was frustrated or just knocked around as much as he was. He was compromised to the point where he was slow back to the huddle. So I don't know you want to overreact, and maybe even addressing it is overreacting, but I do think it's something to keep an eye on, because you don't want to hear the word panic associated with somebody who's having problems throwing in the pocket because it's collapsing around him. I think everyone could understand why he would panic seeing Will Anderson Jr. and Danelle Hunter bearing down on him and hitting him maybe from the blind side. But you don't want to make that a habit week in and week out. So I think the Bears, yeah, their concern level is high, and hearing it from Mario Edwards Jr. only makes it a little bit higher.
Yeah, great audio there. Great job by that reporter really pushing to get the answer that he wanted out of Mario Edwards Jr. Started panicking. That's something you don't want as a label. But again, I get it. Doesn't mean I like it, but I get it. I mean, this body language thing was not made up. NBC put it out there. Melissa Stark told the audience about that. They kept showing pictures. And I agree. He was just exhausted. But you still have to be involved in the game. You can't be just – every time they showed him, it looked like he was just looking up, staring off into, gosh, is Chicago where quarterbacks come to die? Ugh, is this offensive line worse than the one I had at USC? Like, you could have thrown, you know, that bubble, you know, in cartoons.
Bubble.
What was Caleb thinking? Label this picture. What was going through Caleb Williams' mind here? That wasn't made up.
I didn't see panic. I saw angst. I saw frustration. I saw anger almost. But I didn't see him panicking. And I don't blame him, even if he was. 36 of your 37 dropbacks were under duress. You can't move the ball. You want to win the game. You're a rookie quarterback. You're starting to feel it. You know you have a chance to win this game.
Right.
And how great would it be if you did win this game?
Awesome.
You know? And I think for a 22-year-old to be thinking of that, I want him to be frustrated there. Think of it that way. I want him to not panic, but be frustrated and mad. That's the kind of demeanor that I want in my quarterback. And he was slow to get in the huddle, for sure. He was getting absolutely thrown around. And you know what? You know, there was that one time that he was slow to get to the line and they bailed him out, called the timeout when they avoid the delay
yes.
a game.
Yeah.
And then they didn't do it in the second half. They're like, you got to figure this out. And this is on him. He's got to be better at the line of scrimmage. And he's got to be better about getting the play call in. The penalties, all that stuff, that all centers around your quarterback and the operation of getting in and out of the huddle. I think that he's got to be quicker, smarter, make better decisions. Am I concerned about his body language, his demeanor, about the panic? I'm not concerned. This guy's had so many horrible things said about him in his college career. He's had way worse things said about him. I think he's going to learn from it, and I think it's going to motivate him.
You think he will be motivated by it?
That's I do.
That's it. That's the other part of this, is that when you hear this stuff said by your opponents that you just played, it could create, you know, an edge within. That's the hope, at least.
I'm looking forward to the response.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
That's a great question.
NFL Films, Mike's caught C.J. Stroud giving Caleb Williams advice after the Sunday night game down in Houston.
Good job out there,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah,
hey,
keep going.
Stop taking those hits.
Yeah, I know.
Right? Hey,
yeah.
Learn from those mistakes, and everything that you got, bro, is in you already, bro. You're going to be a hell of a player in this league.
Yeah.
All right, boy.
Appreciate it.
For sure.
How do you think Williams took the advice, and what did you think of it?
Okay, this might not be terribly popular, because I know everyone's like, isn't that great? Wasn't that really cool? It was kind of cool. But C.J. Stroud is a month older than Caleb Williams. And he's talking to him like he's this elder statesman in the league. And I love everything about C.J. Stroud, the quarterback. And I love the fact that he wanted to offer some helpful advice, if you will, from one guy to another, one classmate maybe to another. They're both graduated high school the same year, didn't they? They're the same age. I do wonder if some of it was because he knew it was going to end up in some audio video somewhere, some Instagram live. I don't know. Don't you think C.J. Stroud was playing up for the cameras a little bit? He said, hey, come back here, man. I got something to say. I want to tell you how to succeed in this league because I have been here all of 19 games. I think it's great, but I wasn't overwhelmed by it like I saw a lot of the social media reaction. Like, I've seen the look on Brandon Fryer's face. Like, what are you talking about? I didn't like it. I really didn't like it. I don't know if I want my quarterback to, oh son, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Just kind of hang in there, buddy. I've been here. Yeah, he had a great rookie year. Nobody else has had a rookie year like that. But I know it's just me, but I didn't like it.
I want more of that. You didn't like that CJ was offering up the advice? Or I didn't. Here's
it didn't
what
feel
I didn't
authentic?
Like.
It didn't feel authentic?
I don't know if it was authentic. And I think that also he pulled them back in. Like, they were going, hey, nice game, man. Nice game. You want to get out of there.
Well,
you just got your brain beaten in.
Not surprising. Shame on Caleb Williams.
No. Did you see Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes after the game? They could barely look at each other. Good game, man. They're ticked off because Joe Burrow lost the game. Patrick Mahomes doesn't like Joe Burrow having a winning record against him. That's the way a rivalry works.
How about when Tom Brady would lose? He'd run off the field, not even go shake. He was mad.
You shake his hand, but right, you don't have course. To look at him and say, hey, come here, man. Let's have a chat.
But I think that's how, again, I think you brought this up on Monday, if I can go back that far and remember. You talked about the good pregame story that NBC did, talking about how these two, you know, future stars at quarterback grew up and the roles their mothers played.
Loved
and
it.
How they were.
Loved
and it. I just think, it was really good. I just think, see, as much as I didn't buy into the hype of CJ Stroud, I'm like, let's prove it. And after seeing him in the second half, he's not all that. He's good. He's good, but he's not great.
The Bears defense is great.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with him, the football player. Him, the football player, he's an elite quarterback.
I thought it was genuine, and I thought shame on Caleb for not. Caleb could take all the advice for. He's been here for 5 minutes. You're goofing around that CJ Edwards been here for 19 games. That's 17 more. That's 17 more than Caleb's been around in.
My first takeaway was, dang, CJ Stroud, you're literally one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and you're a really good guy. That's annoying.
He is a good guy. That's annoying. Yeah.
I was like, are you perfect? That's frustrating for me. I think a lot is being made of Caleb's demeanor in that moment. And I agree with you that I think there's a competitive fire that is different for Caleb Williams. And obviously he just got his butt kicked. Mm-hmm. He was on the ground. He made a dumb mistake to end the game. He knew he had a chance to win it. I think he wanted to get on that airplane as fast as he could.
You're right. And I think I can relate to that.
I thought CJ Stroud was authentic. And I was mad that he's such a nice guy. And I thought that was a very cool moment for CJ. He wanted to lift Caleb's spirits and say, hey, it's going to be okay. Because guess what? It wasn't all rosy and peachy for CJ Stroud in his first two NFL games.
You don't think it was just for the cameras?
I don't.
Okay.
I think they forget about the cameras.
I'm a jerk, just like the texter says.
That's all right.
It's just you, David. Okay.
That's all right.
So when you just asked that question, I started racking my brain. I'll stop my head. I don't even know.
That's the voice of Tommy Hotovy. We've got plenty to ask him at 8:25 this morning, including the Cubs announcing that Justin Steele will return from the injured list to start this afternoon's game against the A's. It's a 1:21st pitch here on the Score. Even though they only have a very remote, slim chance, almost none, to make the postseason, is Steele returning from elbow inflammation now good or bad news? Smart or not so smart?
Well, I don't know that I'm going to be in the minority here, but I don't think it's so smart. I think they should have waited till after the game to see if they won it. They've got nothing to play for. They have no reason to risk another injury or a setback for Justin Steele with two starts left in a season that has gotten away from them. They're not going to the playoffs. He's not loosening up and warming up and getting ready for October. He's getting ready to go fishing, which was one of the more fascinating things in that midday appearance yesterday. He was great, by the way. Justin Steele mm-hmm. is a terrific personality. He's got a podcast. He's a great asset to the Cub organization. You want to keep him healthy. And along those lines, that's why, more than anything, I would rest him, I would sit him, and I would go in Dustin's closet and get out the bubble wrap, and I would put that all around Justin Steele's left arm.
I have been called Captain Bubble Wrap in the past, and I had said on the Fly the W670 podcast, I predicted a sweep. That obviously didn't happen, and I said I expect Justin Steele to start on Wednesday if the Cubs are going for the sweep. And if they are not, there is absolutely no reason to get him out there. Keep him in shape, have him do his bullpens, exercise, be around the team, all that kind of stuff. But all those pitches are wasted pitches. Absolutely wasted pitch. And Justin Steele seems like the guy, like, if he's got it going today, like, he would want to stay in. He'd even push it. Even though I'm sure there's a pitch limit, we'll ask Tommy Hotovy if there's a magic number, if it's 50, if it's 60, that'll be at 8:25. But Justin Steele, thank you for your efforts. You have made improvements. We'll see you on opening day next year.
We said in the opening segment, my answer is one word. Why? What's the point? I think he's a competitor. He wants to be out there. He wants to be with his team. I think in order to be at your best these last couple of weeks of the season, you have to tell yourself that you're fighting for something and you can control what you can control and winning games and putting yourself in the best position to win games. You never know what could happen. I think that's the mentality of putting him back out there, but I think it's silly. It's silly to risk any other possible tendonitis, soreness. Don't do it. I don't like it.
Okay, next question.
Voice of Ozzie Guillen. He's here at 8. ESPN.com, or the four-letter network, as I like to refer to it. Jeff Passan spent 24 hours chronicling the worst team in baseball history. Not quite yet, but the 2024 White Sox. Among the fascinating things he reported were plans to hire Brian Mahler, a former Harvard lacrosse player, Navy SEAL, no baseball experience, as the new director of leadership, culture, and continuing education, foreshadowing plans to overhaul the infrastructure of the organization. What's your first reaction to that?
Fascinating story, good little nugget. Interesting that the White Sox have this plan to not just address some of the issues on the field, but organizationally, it's things that they feel like they could do better. My initial reaction was that, like, oh, that's interesting. And then you start to think about it, it was like, I don't know that the White Sox need to embark on this turnaround and think they have to reinvent the wheel. And I don't know that if it's a better way to go about it than going out and hiring somebody from an organization that has done it right. If you want to go big and you want to think big market, which is unrealistic with the right now under Jerry Reinsdorf's leadership and what we hear about them cutting costs, if you wanted to betray that, go the other way, then go out and get Dave Dombrowski from the Phillies or somebody who has a connection here. That's or go out and get somebody and reshape your organization like one, follow a blueprint from one that's been successful. If you want to go smaller market, look at what Tampa Bay or Milwaukee has done. Look at what they are able to execute and go get one of their executives. Copycat. It's a copycat league. I don't know if you're going to get better on the field just by hiring a guy with this very diverse and fascinating background and with a title that is probably new to Major League Baseball. It's an interesting, innovative concept. I don't think you want interesting and innovative concepts necessarily right now. You need practical and fast solutions. So I don't know. This feels very experimental. And I don't think you're in a position to experiment.
This part of the article, and it was, as you guys said, I just want to add on, it was very well written. I was surprised he took on the project, but it was very well written. I mean, who wouldn't want to come to Chicago or wherever for a couple of days on the four-letter network's dime? But why did my mind go to The Natural? Remember the movie The Natural when they're in the clubhouse and Mr. Quaker Oats is the manager of that team? And they've got some guy addressing it, talking about how losing is contagious and losing is a disease. Yeah. and how we're going to break out of losing. It just that, I mean, I know this guy's a Navy SEAL and that guy was just some old guy they brought up in front, but the everybody was rolling their eyes and weren't buying in. The other thing that I thought was interesting though from the article is that, and why you might need this type of person around, is that all of these guys that are now losers and might go down as the most losing team in baseball, they were all winners. They were all the best kid on every baseball team they played in until they probably got to the minor leagues when they were around a bunch of other guys that won every, Babe Ruth League, every Little League game, every pop, everything in baseball. Then they went to high school and they probably were all pitchers, shortstop, center fielders and batted second. And then they went to college and got even more specialized and hit 35 home runs and struck out 10 guys every time they took them out. And now they're a bunch of losers, and it's hard to do. It's hard to do. It's almost like what's going on with Bryce Young in Carolina, right? All that losing can ruin somebody who's got great ability. We'll have to see.
Culture starts at the top, and I think we see that in all sports. And until Jerry Reinsdorf is not the owner anymore, you got to figure out a way to change the top that isn't the owner. And I think if that's a creative, interesting way, this guy sounds like he has a fascinating background. He's smart. He went to Harvard. He played lacrosse. He's athletic. He's a Navy SEAL. He's seen the world. He's done all these things. That's great. Love it. But this is all going to be better when you win. And until you win, the culture won't change. So in order to win, you got to play. You got to pay players. You got to get good players. And you have to change the roster. And I don't know if investing in an executive like this guy, who knows what he's making, right? And this is where you're putting your resources and your money. I think a lot of fans would like to see probably that go towards the roster and the players and to show results on the field. That's what you got to do.
Somebody who is going to offer practical baseball solutions. You want maybe a proven, somebody to be a proven executive for your organization. This guy sounds like he'd be a fascinating commencement speaker and probably somebody to be really an asset in your organization. I just don't know if he's going to help the White Sox get back to the playoffs.
Right.
How are you going to do that? You're going to spend, you're going to develop. It's a lot. It takes a village, but I just don't know. Fascinating article. Great little tidbit. And the White Sox, 24 hours with the worst team in Major League history. Sounds like a Netflix documentary or somebody lost a bet.
It actually kind of sounded like Passan had a lot of fun.
It does sound like
he had a lot of fun. If you read the article.
That's why he's a good writer.
Sounds like the guys are doing
okay. That's why he's an outstanding writer. And that is the pick six. We come back. It's the extra point. We're going to talk about Tua. He's on the injured reserve list, placed there yesterday. What does that mean for him? What does that mean for his future? We'll talk about it next. It's Mully and Haw, Ruthie Polinsky, in for Mully, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Losing is a disease as contagious as bubonic plague.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.